Dawson.
Hi.
My name's Jeff Sinclair.
Jeff Sinclair, a fourth-year medical student at Marshall University in Huntington, wants to be an eye surgeon. To reach that dream, he's taken the usual classes in gross anatomy and behavioral medicine. But he's also taken something else, a test in bedside manner.
Pick a spot back there on the wall and just stare right at it, okay?
The bedside manner test, officially known as the clinical competency exam, is given at all three of the state's medical schools at the end of the student's third year. The patients are actually actors trained to portray various illnesses. Sarah McCarty, Associate Dean of Academic Affairs at Marshall University, says one of the differences between this and a real exam is that the student is evaluated by both the instructor and the patient.
What we're looking for, and we are observing our students doing this, is their interaction with the patient. Do they treat the patient with respect? Do they speak in a language that the patients understand, or do they use medical terms that the patient can't understand?
That may sound like a small detail, but Angie Dawson, who's played a patient for the last 5 years, says sometimes medical students use a lot of jargon, which she counts against them in her evaluation.
I was always honest with my evaluations, because I feel like that helps them in the long run become better doctors.
A poor review on the test is serious, because passing the clinical competency exam is a requirement for graduation. Students who fail must spend extra time in patient clinics working on their bedside manner before they're allowed to retake the test.
What's going on with you today?
Fourth-year medical student Laura Feaster says even though the test is staged, there's a lot to be learned from it.
Well, let's take your blood first.
You spend your entire third year seeing patients over and over again. You kind of get yourself into a system and a way of interacting with patients, and I don't think it's something that you could fake at the last minute.
But if good bedside manner is something that can't be faked, why test it? Dr. McCarty says the answer is simple. Like any other subject, communication skills can be learned. And like drawing blood or diagnosing illnesses, medical students must show that they've mastered the art of talking to patients.
I think for some time, I think we sort of might have taken that attitude that they did know. And unfortunately, as we look at the world of medicine, we see that there are problems within the medical world. And we think that it is our obligation as medical educators to be sure that our students can do this. I don't think we can just assume that they can do this.
With that thought in mind, proper bedside manner is emphasized from the day students arrive. Marshall's Director of Educational Development, Marie Vitia, says that when they receive their white lab coats, they're reminded of the responsibilities that go with wearing them.
We all know how to form good relationships, but as just regular human beings, but we don't necessarily always take the time to break down what the components are, such as empathy, respect, and genuineness, being real with your patients.
While textbook examples are helpful, ophthalmology student Jeff Sinclair says he's learned most of his bedside manner on the job.
We interact with a lot of attending physicians, and it's good to see all the different styles and pick and choose how we want to act. I mean, it's good to see both good bedside manner and bad bedside manner so that we can pick up and know the difference and basically turn ourselves into the doctor that we want to be.
I'm just going to take a peek in your ears, too, okay?
While empathy and respect may go a long way toward avoiding a malpractice court battle, Marie Vitia says a good bedside manner may have another, more significant benefit.
There's literature to indicate that patients who have good relationships with their doctors are more likely to follow the doctor's recommendations.
Amoxicillin is what we're going to give you. We're going to give you 500 milligrams. You can take it one every 8 hours.
Neither Laura Feaster nor Jeff Sinclair is really worried about medical malpractice yet. Both have years of school ahead of them before they're ready to practice, and they hope that the state's medical malpractice issue will be a distant memory by then.
Doctors are human, and doctors make mistakes. Good doctors make mistakes as well as bad doctors, and I think if you have a good working relationship with your patient and you're honest and upfront with them, that they are more willing to accept that you're a human being as much as they're a human being.
While Ms. Feaster and Mr. Sinclair have passed Marshall's bedside manner test, they may have to take another before hanging up their shingle. The West Virginia Licensing Board is considering adding a clinical skills exam to its physician certification process. For Coast to Coast, I'm Erica Celeste in Huntington, West Virginia.